Blog
Talk
Radio.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Home Based Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, you was on mute, David. That's why you couldn't hear us.
Yeah, I had the thing from earlier this morning. I had put the volume on mute.
Yeah, that's what I was telling everybody. I was trying to tell them that you were still on mute.
Yeah. All right, how's everyone?
Great.
Howdy.
Good.
All right, so we're going to get started shortly, and matter of fact, we're great starting now. And Brother Sir Tywin.
Yes, sir.
You set up, sir?
Yes, I am.
We're going to start in a few minutes here. Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, from the National Black Unity News. You know, technology is something that works for you. Sometimes it works against you. But nevertheless, you know, we're going to work with or without it. But any case, you know, I am so grateful to be here this evening, not only because I'm alive, because I'm still relevant, and so are you. And so, you know, again, welcome to our Monday night podcast, and I also want to welcome those who are with us on Facebook Live, as well as Blog Talk Radio. And tonight we have some special guests coming on, and we're going to get into a deep discussion, but it's all interrelated. Last week, we had several of our members on here now tonight who was dealing with here in the Baltimore area and state of Maryland with our state's attorney, our former state's attorney, Marilyn Mosby. But, you know, those of us who've been around the block once or twice, we also know that the same things happens in Baltimore, happens in other places around the country and throughout the diaspora as well. So this is not a local thing. This is actually a global thing that we black melanated people go through. But you know, throughout history, there has always been countries, dynasties, individuals who always try to overtake, overwhelm, or how would you say conquer another people. But those who believe in God have always raised up individuals to take a stance against any type of tyranny or bullying or anything else. Tonight, we have some true soldiers with us. People are willing to take a stand, not only willing, but did take a stand. Not only in Baltimore, but across the country as well. And I don't see my guest on here as of yet, but we will get started shortly. But in the meantime, since we got some soldiers on here, I'm going to do a quick roll call. And I'm going to start with my buddy up here, Brother Smitty. Let him know, Smitty, a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you're currently doing right now, especially when it relates to the Marilyn Mosby.
Well, my formerly trade as a general contractor, I've been in my business for like 55 years as to date. And I decided to do something else different in our community, which would be taking on a radio show called Seniors Taking Action. I felt as though the seniors did not have a voice. They were trying to get prescription medicine and making acquaintance with the doctors and stuff like that. And it just wasn't working. But I knew there were other programs that were available for kids, and other programs were available for younger people, but there was nothing there that seniors could really talk about or even have the desire to call in when they have problems. A lot of seniors are impacted by this terrible disease. It's called, we call it AZ, but it's dementia. And we started with ARP, and then we ended up with the dementia people trying to help and see if we can resolve the issues that this disease has plagued in our community. which means that your parents live in the house with you, but their mind leaves them. And this is a terrible disease, and we don't have enough highlights is being reflected on this terrible disease that are robbing our older people out of memory loss completely. So I decided to say, well, look, let me get myself together and get a couple other people together. And we went on WLB to give enlightenment in reference to this terrible disease. And every now and then we highlight different issues. So right now we're working on, which is not a senior, but we're working on helping with Mrs. Marilyn Mosby. We feel there's been a terrible injustice been done to her in reference to her being a prosecutor for Baltimore City. And so I took in one of the roles that I played with that is helping with the transportation from Baltimore to the courthouse. And we'll be leaving again for her sentencing, which will be May the 23rd. And we'll be leaving from New Shiloh Baptist Church. And that'll be May the 23rd. And we'll be going to the federal courthouse, which is 6500 Sherwood Lane in Greenbelt. And we're going there to support her. A lot of times when we find ourselves, when they're coming after us, and you probably say, who's coming after us? And anytime someone is coming after us, regardless of what we do, when we talk about law enforcement, but we never get a fair shake. I would say we don't get a fair shake. Some of you may have been to court and may work for you. In this case here, I found that this young lady, they have taken her car away from her. They've taken her passport. They have her and her husband have split it, and she has two little girls. And we noticed that she was in the courtroom going through all these procedures by herself. So we feel as though that we needed to get all the people that we could get to rally around her to give her some support, show her that we love her. A lot of times when we go through problems or we have problems, people disobeying themselves from you. As long as you're doing good, they're all around you and your health is good. But what happens to you when your health fails you, or either you have what we call a difficult challenge in life? Why is it that we just don't sit together? I see people sticking together with somebody that committed a lot of crimes. I don't even want to call on people's name, but if you listen to the news, you will see who you can almost just pinpoint. They gather around him. So what is wrong with us without people? Why is it that we disband ourselves, people who look like us and people who we need to show, at least if they're going through turbulent weather or they're having a bad thing, we need to try to help our people resolve the issues that they're having and see what we can do as family, because no one has come to save us but us. I mean, we talk all the stuff. We see all the people. But I asked a friend of mine who has a business in the funeral industry. And one day I said to him, I saw that there was some Mexicans cutting his grass. And he highlighted me that they were giving them good service and stuff like that. I said, but why do you hire somebody that won't hire you? So if somebody may know that a lot of times, We don't sit together. We always all over every place. We're the only nationality that don't support our own, and we let someone else stop us from supporting our own. So I take this chance to say to all of you, I'm delighted to be here with you, and all I want to do is try to do the best I can with my own people that look just like me. Not saying that other people I can disband, but it's now time for us to put us first.
Yes, sir, I agree wholeheartedly with you on that. But, you know, before we go any further, there's quite a few folks that have joined us. But I do want to get to, I guess we do. I see one of them's on here. And please mute yourself, please, or I would have to, and then some may not be able to get back on. And so please mute yourselves. And one of our guests, and he likes to be called, he told me to call him Uncle Selwyn. And he's our guest, and I want him to introduce himself. But he's with this organization, and some of you might know his nephew, which was George Floyd. And we all know what happened to him, the results of what happened to him. And as I said earlier, you know, there's all type of atrocities happening to us. And Mr. Selwyn, I hope I'm pronouncing your name. Can you unmute yourself, sir?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. How are you?
I'm doing fine, besides I've got about 5 inches of snow.
Well, and where are you located?
South Dakota.
Oh, okay. Yes. But look, you know, there's a lot of people. Yeah, we're familiar with George Floyd and what happened to him. But why are you here tonight? And I want you to explain to you the organization that you're with and why you are doing the things that you're doing.
I am doing the things that I'm doing because it needs to be done. A lot of people will say, why me? Why not you? And I strongly believe that my nephew died and he could have been in other predicaments, that it would not have been the impact that he had, but the Lord gave him an opportunity to show the entire world what hatred and racism and disrespect and humiliation and that knee on the neck and that rope in a tree looks like. And all I've done is I've taken what was a horrific situation and I'm trying to make it better for not only my nephew, for your nephew, for the next person down the line, for all people down the line. And you know, man, it has been a heck of a battle and a heck of a fight. I live in a town with 1,500 people, and I haven't been to a store in literally 4 years, coming May the 26th. But does that bother me? Absolutely not, because I know that the principle in which I live with is to not to quit, and I have all the energy and all the power and plenty of people behind me to make a difference and to make a change. Therefore, we created a foundation that would help marginalized people. We have a housing project going in Harrison, Arkansas. We have a call center that we're trying to put in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have a call center that we're trying to build a reentry program for Rapid City, South Dakota, to make a difference in people's lives.
Let me ask you something. You said you haven't been in these stores. That kind of caught my ear. Why haven't you been in stores in 4 years?
Because they are owned by people that I knew for the last 20 years. And, you know, everybody, when a brother, any talk about a black man, he sells drugs or he deals drugs or he robs and he steals, you know, and some people that I've known for 20 years had some real unpleasant things to say because we had a Confederate flag on the police uniform patch and the car. And if you know anything about history, there wasn't a war above the Mason-Dixon line. So anytime you have somebody donning the Confederate flag that's north of the Mason-Dixon line, it's hate heritage. And reality is, if you put salt on me because of something I had nothing to do with, which we know a lot of people do those things, I don't have to talk to you. You know, I don't have to buy gas in the store. I would prefer to drive 20 miles to get gas than to spend one penny with you. And this is all over a Confederate flag with people that I've known for 20 plus years. So, you know, I can't cry over things that are happened. All I can do is try to make things better. I don't worry about what's in the mirror. I worry about the things that are the present and the future. And the present and the future, to me, looks like change. And that's the reason why we assemble with great people like yourself, you know, and all the young people online. So you can toss things, so you can hear stories, you know, so you can hear these things that you generally don't hear, to hear these, the real things, the true things, the things that we need to hear. And that's what I do. You know, I'm a motivational speaker. I'm a public speaker. And I say the things that most people are afraid to say or don't want to say. Because my nephew gave me an opportunity to open doors because over 8 million people saw the death of my big sister's baby boy. And if you had a heart, it affected you. And if you didn't have a heart, well, I don't really think you're a problem of mine. But if you care, we can make a difference together. And that's just the way I feel.
Okay, I appreciate that. And, you know, of course, I don't know about the rest of people, but I do know that what happened to your nephew, what happened to Freddie Gray and so many of our people, you know, was done right in our face. And yes, we did march, we did protest, but, you know, things continue on.
They haven't stopped. They don't stop.
And I don't think it will until we make it stop
or
we do something. And is Liz on with you tonight?
Liz she was at a soccer game, but she said she'll be here in a second. She's on her way.
Okay. Yes.
So let me ask you, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you something. Your organization, what is 929, right?
Yes, sir. Hope 929.
What is that? Yeah, Hope 929. So what is that all about?
Hope 929 is pretty much our way of making a difference. The 9 minutes and 29 seconds is the amount of time that my nephew was lying on the ground with his knee across his neck. So pretty much what that means to me is change. That 9 minutes and 29 seconds gave us an opportunity to make a difference through my nephew's suffering and pain, because nobody's never seen that kind of a heinous crime committed. And as you said, there's been so many George Floyds that we can't count. That how many George Floyds have they been that we didn't know about? Darnella Frazier was a young 17-year-old that had the guts and the heart to stand there to videotape that. So the whole world could see, because without Darnella Frazier, my nephew would have probably been just another dead black man that had a problem. But because of Darnella Frazier braveness, she opened a lot of people's eyes, and therefore there's a lot of doors that open for people of color, for black, for white, for green. Doesn't matter, because I don't believe in groups. I believe in people. Black lives matter. Well, Hispanic lives matter. Asian lives matter. But I want to affect the marginalized people, which when people think marginalized mean black people. Marginalized don't mean black people. It means all people that have found themselves in a bad situation. Most people need a hand up instead of a handout. Because you teach a man to fish, he feeds himself. You feed him, he'll only eat for a day. And the young man was talking about, he's been at this battle for 55 years. I thank you. Like I told you, Mr. David, thank you. I've been doing this for 4 years, and I get no sleep. You know, I'm always trying to figure out, how can I make a difference? And that's one of the reasons why we created Hope 929. You know, a lot of people walk the walk, but you got to have something. You got to have something. You can talk, but you got to walk. You know what I'm saying? And Hope 929 was a product to a lot of people don't know anything about financial literacy. Most, you know, a lot of people don't know how to balance a checkbook. A lot of people don't know how to gain wealth. A lot of people don't know how, you know, don't care about their credit. So there's a lot of things that we weren't taught that was not supposed to matter to us, but unfortunately, you have to have certain things to have a better life. You know, they put us in bad schools. They put us in bad communities. They give us bad medicine. Therefore, black people die sooner than all other people because of the systemic racism, whether it's health care, whether it's housing. So, you know, so we've got to catch up. We're behind, and we're catching up. And the only way we catch up, in my mind, is communicate, conversate, motivate, and we have to educate. And we have to start with our young folks, because as my man was saying before, you know, I came on, that respect and that empathy thing, it doesn't happen anymore. You know, grand used to be 62. Now grand is 36 and daughter's 18, and she's got a daughter that's 4 or 5 years old. So there's that separation that has left us, that has left the black family, that has left the American family, that we got to get back, you know, in order for us to move forward and to make a difference. So, you know, we got a housing project going so we can give people an opportunity to live in their own house, to have something special that they work for, because a lot of people can't handle this $1,500, you know, a month rent. You know, a lot of people can't. So why should they have to suffer because of people's greed? You know, so this isn't about anything other than to make a difference in this world, because I've got a wonderful opportunity and I communicate with a lot of wonderful people that feel like me. So why not make the biggest impact you can? Because reality is you only come around here for 75 or 80 years. Why not make this a better place than when it was when we came in? Because brother, the things that you saw when you were a kid, you know, Lord have mercy. God bless you, because y'all are battling. And with the things that I see as a kid, it ain't really changed that much. It really hasn't. You know, there's so many things that are still stuck in the systemic way. Can't hear you, Mr. D.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, tonight.
That technology.
Yeah, this technology. But, you know, I got some people in here tonight. I got some people out here what I consider soldiers, frontline. And, you know, with the National Black Unity News, if you don't know, you will know, it's a solution-oriented publication. There's a lot of media that would tell you what's going on here, who got shot, who did this to whom. But, you know, there's not too many publications that try to provide solutions to our problems. And that's what the National Black Unity tried to do. And tonight, I'm going to flip the switch on this because we need some solutions. You know, we need to stop talking about what has happened to us. You know, we need to talk about that. But what can we do about it? Now, I have several people I'm going to call on, you know, to find out, you know, what you all think what should be done from your own perspective, and what are you doing to make changes. I'm going to start with Bill, then I'm going to go to Ms. Sheena Smith right after Bill. Bill Gooden, can you come on in, bro?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Now, what are you doing, Bill, to, you know, everybody pretty much know what we face up against with racism and all else sorts of things that take place against the Black community and other communities. But what are you doing and what can we do from your perspective to make it better?
Well, first and foremost, David, thank you. You know, but listen, I would like to think that I'm doing all within my small power to make a difference, right? You know, I think the biggest thing in terms of us being able to collectively organize, which is sometimes hard to do in mass numbers around our issues. That's my personal thing. So when you say what we need to do, what can we do to make it better, then that's what we need to do. We need to be able to organize around our issues and not personalities and not prestige, it's not celebrities, but we need to organize around issues such as I heard Smitty when he talking about Miss Mosby. Well, at this particular time, that's one of the things that I'm doing because that I feel is important, and I feel is important not because she's just a Black woman, but, you know, when people talk about crimes or improprieties in office, she hasn't done nothing, right? So I'm saying, you know, even if at the very worst, then she's guilty of using her own money and they said that she did something wrong to get it, then at the very worst, it would just be a small penalty that this woman would have to pay. But this is woman is paying with her life, her family. Like Smitty said, you know, they took her passport, trying to take her law license, and have done everything. So I think at this particular time, that's one of the things that I'm constantly working on, because this is the most urgent thing that I see in terms of that I feel that we need to do here in Baltimore and throughout the country to show some unity for this here sister. And I'm going to close with this, David, because I know you got a lot of people on here. Smitty didn't call a name, but, you know, I mean, it's just like I was just looking at you. First of all, I think it's a shame that Donald Trump and Joe Biden is our candidates for the president of the United States at this particular time. I really do. But Donald Trump just posted a picture of Joe Biden in a pickup truck, tied up in a pickup truck. Now, I'm saying, you know, I mean, come on, man. This man doing stuff like that to a sitting president and allowed to get away with it, right? So we sitting back here watching Ms. Mosby be attacked and persecuted and prosecuted, and a lot of us not doing nothing. So I guess the bottom line, I'm going to just say this, Dave, it's so much that we can do, right? I always say everybody needs to do something. But I think our worst thing that we have to do, we have to learn to organize around issues. Because when we're talking about our BGE bills, our gas bills, our children, whatever, all these issues affecting all of us, right? But we cannot organize ourselves in numbers where we could turn 1,000 people out and take to Annapolis, or we take 1,000 people down to City Hall to say, hey, look, we ain't going to tolerate our water bills being what we can't pay. So I think that our, you know, for me, that's what we have to do. We have to be able to organize better. Until we do that, then we're going to be right where we at.
Okay, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Ms. Shayna Smith, can you unmute yourself, please? Ms. Shayna Smith, can you unmute yourself? I think the last time she was on, we had a problem there. She should go.
Okay. Good evening, Brother David Murphy. I'd like to thank you for having us on. First of all, I just, for what me and the team is doing, I just want to be clear that Ms. Marilyn Mosby has done absolutely nothing wrong. She qualified from her 401k. She has not broken any law. Many attorneys were in the office. I sat in that courtroom every day of the second trial from 9:30 to 5 p.m. or whenever the judge dismissed us. And Ms. Marilyn Mosby has broken absolutely no law whatsoever. So what I'm basically doing is sending individuals to the website of www.baltimore4homes.org. That's www.baltimore4homes, like the home you live in, homes.org. Because when you go to that website, you will be able to sign up for the petition to have her exonerated, which will be forwarded to President Biden. We need at least 10,000 signatures by the end of April. You can also donate to the GoFundMe page that has been set up of the case. This is sponsored by the Holmes organization, but Brother Smitty, Brother Bill, Sister Sylvia, Brother Ben, yourself, many others have collaborated to actually support the sister.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys can still hear me.
Yes.
So, and
yes,
then
yes.
What I'm also doing, because I think it's you don't just work on one issue, but within my immediate family, I have over 100 family members. When you look at my siblings, my nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews, great great nieces, da 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 da. Because what I believe has happened, the media has, quote unquote, tried to blame Ms. Marilyn Mosby for the level of crime that's here in Baltimore. And I'm 63, so many of us, along with Bill, we've been here a long time, forefront, fighting on issues of crime and grime and lead poisoning in the water in the school system, et cetera. We understand that this did not start with Marilyn Mosby. What Marilyn Mosby had the tenacity to do was that of a Harriet Tubman. She exposed the level of corruption, not only for the officers who, quote unquote, I'm going to say allegedly for the sake of legalities, murdered Freddie Gray, but she also exposed the level of corruption that is in our Baltimore Police Department, i.e. Great Gun Trace Task Force. And she exonerated 13 African-American men who were wrongfully convicted, plus she had a 90% conviction rate for not just the police department, but all citizens that commit crime here in Baltimore. So this sister is not just going after police officers. She has actually taken the oath of state's attorney and performed her job. And this is what, as Bill always eloquently say, we want an elected official who does that job. But now that we have this sister, the FOP was very, very Oh my gosh. The FOP, which is the Fraternal Order of Police Department, they basically let her know that they were coming after her because she exposed the corruption that's in the Baltimore Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys look at We Own This City, which is a documentary that
mm-hmm.
the reporter Justin Fenton wrote the book on, and it's a documentary that's on HBO, and it literally lays out the level of corruption in our Baltimore City Police Department. And one of the officers who was actually indicted, he clearly states that we own this city, so he wasn't worried about the Department of Justice coming here to Baltimore investigating them. So this is clearly bigger than Marilyn Mosey because it's happening around the globe in our city. So I want to take the time to thank you, and definitely I want individuals to go to www.baltimore4homes.org to support the sister way of signing that petition. Pass the word to your young people because they are tech savvy. It's an online petition. You can also, if those of us who can donate, donate to the GoFundMe page. And so I just want to thank you for this opportunity because this is really, really big because the systematic ills that are keeping our community suppressed. So if you have a police department that is actually participating in crime, how are you going to solve crime when they're part of the criminals? This is what our folks have to understand. This police department, the Gun Trace Task Force, they were literally going into people's homes, robbing drug dealers, taking the evidence money, not turning it in. Only a portion of it was turned in. And this is why, and I have two nephews that was murdered in this city. This is why I understand that drug money, let's say if it was $10,000, the police department may have only turned in $2,000. And then I also took a young man to the IE hospital who was being attacked by a gang member. It's about eight of them. And I later learned that these young people worked for our Baltimore City Police Department. And I have to say allegedly because, you know, it's nothing in court that was proven. But these are the issues that we are faced with here in Baltimore. And I'm sure it's around the globe.
Yes.
So thank you,
and I appreciate that. But family, look, I'm trying to get to as many people as I can because all of you are powerful people, and you all have issues that we have to deal with. But, you know, I just if you can just take for a few minutes to share some information because it's extremely important because each one of you have information that can, how I like to say, set the cap. It's free. And Reverend Fred, how you doing?
I'm here.
Look, now you deal with a different subject, mate, but you're on the front line because you do so much with the NAACP. You deal with health issues, mental health issues, and I'm going to kind of switch this around on you. Bill mentioned a lack of unity and us coming together, and it all breaks down to our mindset. So from your expertise and mental health thing as well as a soldier down for the cause, what do you see our problem is mentally and why it's difficult for us to come together?
Well, because in my opinion, first of all, we have to remember I'm a former Central County Sheriff Deputy, so I know exactly the power of the unions. And when they turn on you like that, how they can come after you, because they was coming after a lot of us that was within the department. And I was affectionately named the Farrakhan of the Sheriff Department. So, you know, I stood up. The problem we having is that we still only get halfway into the fight because we don't want the disagreement, the disapproval, or the displeasure of our white counterparts. We still got this mindset that we want to fit in and get in. And then another thing that is really bad, and I'm not going to be long, we have taken on this persona of being spectators, not people who get out here and take action. We at home talk all about it, but then you ask somebody, what did you do? And they can't tell you what they did. They say, well, the NAACP got to do this, and the Action Network got to do this. And stuff. But They don't understand that those people are just you and me. I'm the president of the Inglewood South Bay here in Los Angeles County, California, president of the NAACP. I'm on the Children's Task Force for the state of California, but I'm just one individual, and people will come to me, ask me to lead protests, get attorneys, do all, and they won't even pay $30 a year for a membership. So we, you know, this mindset that we have has to change, because otherwise we are never going to progress. We got to quit singing "We Shall Overcome." It's time to come over. We got to do that kind of stuff. And as long as people can knock us down and we keep pointing at them, talking about what they did to us, instead of getting up like champions do, then we're going to be in this situation 50 years from now. We'll be talking about it. Those of us who are still alive, or our children or their children, will be talking about it then. So we have to do that. But I want to just emphasize, when the police come after them like that, those unions, the police unions, is probably, if not the, one of the most powerful unions in the nation. And they carry a lot of weight. But there's 40 million black people. How come we don't have our own black union? It ain't got to do with your job. And who's fighting? Where's our union? That when we move, where is our ability to bargain with people for our vote, instead of just to give it to one side, no matter what, to where they can say that, where Hillary Clinton can tell Donna Brazile, Donna Brazile said they need money, and you need to spend money in the black community, and Hillary Clinton said, well, where are they going to go? See, this is what the way they think of you when they know they got you under their thumb, and that's just as racist as anything Trump is doing. See, but we love one side and hate the other, when both of them should be scared to death of us. And that's the way we have to look at this thing from my point of view. And I know there's other powerful people on here. I'm going to end it right there.
I appreciate that. And we got a young man on here now who's actually running for mayor in Baltimore City. Brother Keith Scott, how are you this evening?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yes, sir. Okay. Can hear you.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, I did an interview with you recently, and you was explaining, and I'm talking about some solutions to this problem of discrimination and housing and a lot of issues, employment, so many things that people here in Baltimore, but not only Baltimore, across the country are facing with. Now, you a young man who took on the mantle and said, well, I'm going to step up and I'm going to run for mayor so that you can change things. Now, from your perspective, you know, just based on our conversation tonight, you heard from Freddie, you know, Marilyn Mosby, who took on Freddie Gray, and his situation and the results that she getting. Then you see the uncle of George Floyd is on here. He has to... can't even go to his local store because of discrimination and their belief systems and things like that. And then here we are, Smitty and Bill and everybody out here fighting on the front lines because of something that shouldn't even be in a court system. But yet, you say you would like to run for mayor. So what would you do, or what would you suggest that we do as a people so that we can have a better quality of life?
See, in my view, everything that's happening is all because our inability to create wealth. We are not capable of creating wealth as a people. This is why we are dependent on just about everything. We can't make our wealth. Unity requires profit. Nobody wants to be a part of anything that's not benefiting them, any kind of financial wealth, anything. For me to actually bring that solution. One of my plans is actually, we have in Baltimore, you know, we got a lot of condemned properties that just going to waste. My plan is to actually become mayor and give all these properties to the black community so they can be able to create wealth. when they be able to create wealth, we could educate, do just about everything with this wealth. We could actually create a bank that we can give our people lower interest rates. See, with the power to create wealth, we could have the power to actually hold people accountable, because we have the power to discipline. And so we able to create the wealth that's necessary for us to unite and to make these changes and not have to rely on anybody else to help us out, we're going to still be oppressed from the next generation to the next generation. The power to create wealth is our right. Supposed to get it with the 20 acres in the mill, but we never got it. All our cities that we actually built, they destroyed because, simple fact, we could not hold anybody accountable for the things they do to us. And it's the same thing now. We ask, we begging for people to do right by us, but since we don't have the power to make them, they're going to keep doing it.
All right. I appreciate that, sir. And we have one of our other guests. I see she just joined us. She's a partner with Hope 929. Miss Liz Darden, can you unmute yourself, please?
Yes, good evening. I'm here at my son's soccer game. My apologies for being tardy. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm quite sure everybody else is doing okay. And but I want to ask you, Liz, you involved with this Hope 929.
Yes.
And I asked Uncle Selvin, you know, pretty much the same thing. Why are you involved with this, and what do you hope to see come out of this?
My story is a little different. I came up in a very diverse community of Anchorage, Alaska, and when I moved to Harrison, Arkansas, that has been labeled the most racist in the nation, I wanted to help shift the narrative because of the experiences that I had. And as a mother raising brown and black children, I want to make sure that they're treated fairly. And so I created community events, brought a sense of community, and educated, as an educator, the youth true history. And that's where it started. And I actually met Uncle Selwyn at the Unity in the Community event, where I partnered with the Martin Luther King Commission. I'm part of the Task Force on Race Relations. And he came to an event as a speaker, and I was a speaker there, and we combined efforts. We went around the country, visited social justice events, those seeking solutions. You know, a lot of the people that reach out to him are also impacted family members, people that have gone through the same thing his family has, looking for tools for support, having to conduct their own investigation. And we wanted to lift their voices. So we established Setting It Straight with Selwyn platform. I'm sure he's mentioned it to you all. And last week we did Plant the Seed as well. But we really wanted to dive deep and implement tools and solutions to support marginalized groups of all backgrounds, people that have been pushed to the side in society. You know, tribal reservations, we're looking to implement reintegration programs for them. Even within the community I live right now, Harrison, Arkansas, we're establishing affordable housing, community resources, and job opportunities for the lower socioeconomic individuals that are also seeking support tools. And when I think of a sense of unity coming together, we have to think about the underdog and the underrepresented and stand with those who've been oppressed. And that's my background. My father raised me with that belief system, seeking out to those who need help, who can't use their voice, to lift them up. You know, we want to decrease the wealth gap and reduce recidivism rates, and then implement prevention tools to prevent individuals from being incarcerated in the first place. Our system is broken. Our system is corrupt. Both sides of the aisle, there's evil forces on both sides. And I feel like there's power in numbers. And when we come together, we have an opportunity to be a voice for change. And like someone mentioned earlier, it's not just about overcoming, it's actually taking action right now and not waiting till it's too late, because it's about the future generations to come. And so that's why I got involved.
Okay, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to switch gears real quick. And Dr. Hamilton, Rhonda Hamilton, can you unmute yourself, please?
Yes.
How you doing, Dr. Hamilton? Dr. Hamilton.
I'm doing wonderful. How's everybody?
Dr. Hamilton, Dr. Hamilton also has ran and may be running again for the mayor of D.C., but she also involved with a lot of health care groups, especially when they come to dialysis, the unfair treatment of us. See, you know, it's not just in the health, business communities and everything. It's also spreads over into our health as well. And I want, to share a little bit about some of the things that you have done, the March on Washington that you just did, and the disparities when it comes to health, when it comes to Black people.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Murphy, and thank you guys once again for having me. We, on the last day of Black History Month, went down to Congress to basically serve notice that we don't intend to continue to sit in the back seat of issues affecting our communities. I agree with all of what I heard this evening. It's important that we help our citizens understand that we're not victims, we're threatening. And when we can help that mindset change happen, we can motivate our communities to come forward here in the nation's capital, the seat of governance. I am proud to be a part of community leaders that, like you all, have come together to understand that when 300,000 of citizens are not engaged in our voting processes, there is absolutely no realistic expectation that their lives are going to change. We realize that as a mental health advocate, when we have these poor health outcomes, when we have these poor statistical realities, we have to be at the forefront of what the change needs to look like. So I have ran for mayor, as Mr. Murphy mentioned, here in the nation's capital, and I will be running again in 2026. Meanwhile, as a mental health outreach advocate, we are taking care to make sure that we are attacking our issues from a root cause understanding. We have elected officials that have decided that this seat of governance or being a politician somehow is celebrityism, and it's not. Public government is supposed to be about all the people, and the reality of us sitting backseat while these issues and policies are not helping to improve our lives, many of our citizens we recognize are disconnected from our heritage, which is very important. And so if we don't know who we are as a people, then we believe others' representations of us, which is why we have to be everywhere where our laws are being made. We have to attack this from the understanding that we are not leaving any of our people behind. Oftentimes, we achieve the wealth that not many can, and we separate ourselves as if. And the reality is that, again, we all have to be a part of the forward understandings of what it is that we want our children to inherit. And so I'm running for office because we must be proactive. We must be unapologetic about the issues that are affecting our communities. And, again, I just echo what I heard so much of on the call. Yes, we have to have equitable educational health care and economic outcomes. But the reality of not having our folks show up to vote, not having our folks understand who they come from and what they come from is important. And so realize that while we're calling out those that keep our community suppressed, we also have to be proactive and in the front lines of what it's going to take to change laws and to create economic wealth. And so I am proud to be a part of the front line here in the nation's capital, because we realize many of you all look to us as the seat of governance to have our acts together, and we have much work to do, but many of us are on the ground, and we welcome the opportunity to work with you and any of your causes that you bring this way. So, Mr. Murphy, I can't thank you enough for what you do, and thank you all.
Thank you. And you know, talking about stepping up, getting involved, I met a young man today, and Bill Gooden gave him my number. And we had a nice opportunity to talk for a few brief moments. Truly impressed with this gentleman because he wants to do something. And Mr. Wayne Bennett, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes.
Now, see, this is one of the reasons it keeps me going. All of you keeps me going because the stand that you have taken. Because now I know I don't stand by myself. But this encouraged me so much when I see a brother like this. You know, just shows up and say, I want to do this and I want to do that. I'm not going, tell me what you told me today, what you want to do for someone else.
All right. First of all, what I want to say, man, this right now is very inspiring. It is truly inspiring to hear all these people the articulateness. You guys are very articulate in what, you know, how you present yourself. It is really inspiring. I think one of the biggest thing now for us, let's say if other people be able to see what I'm seeing now, I think that's the biggest thing, the misconception that we're not articulate. We don't come together. We don't have people, speakers like yourselves. That's the biggest thing to me. And that, to me, is the most motivating thing right now to keep pushing on. You know, it's really motivating. I just want to express that. But with the Marilyn Mosby situation, you know, Sister Sheena, you know, because I heard her voice. I got introduced to Carl Nelson, you know, because I wanted to hear different things. I kind of got tired of the, you know, when you get to the station, you didn't have information. You really couldn't get the information about things like this. So Carl Nelson was kind of, you know, a program that kind of introduced me to a lot of things. And I heard, that was one day listening, I heard Sister Sheen was going on with what was going on with Marilyn. Now, my introduction to Marilyn, I remember I saw her on MSNBC that she was a rising sister, you know, doing her thing. She was, you know, pretty powerful. But surprised to me to hear her, what she was going through, where she was being prosecuted for what, you know, for what the action she took as a prosecutor in Baltimore City. Well, after it was explained to me, you know, what she was going through with the fact of they was prosecuting her, the fact that now she spent all her money, you know, trying to defend herself, you know, against the powerful government, because the federal government's pretty powerful. I mean, they have, you know, unlimited dollars, you know, to be able to pursue whatever they want to pursue. But to see her go through that, and the next portion that, you know, I mean, after hearing that, I kind of pulled up on her, and I want to see, you know, what she was going through, because I want to kind of be involved, especially how it was portrayed that she didn't have support. We need someone, you know, to support the system. You know, so, I mean, I got encouraged. I said, yeah, I need to be able to see what's going on. What can I do? So I pulled, first thing I did, I pulled up, I Googled, you know, the situation. I saw the news, and I saw her face. She was walking into the court building. Never forget it. She was with her lawyer by herself, and she had this look of this sad look. It was touching. I felt really sad for her because I could see it in her face. I could see the stress. To me, it seemed like she may have lost weight from when I saw her from MSNBC. And understand, I mean, going through that, going against the federal government, you're going to lose weight, especially being on that side of the law. It's going to have that kind of effect on you. But to see that, right, it really touched my heart. I said, you know what? I want to be able to go down there and just stand up there and support the system. Just go down to the courtroom. It just so happened because what I do, I write programs. I do different things, you know, for a life saving system. So this particular day, I said, you know, it was going to be Monday. I think it was Friday that I heard the report. And Monday she was going to court. I think she was going, it was going to be closing. It was going to be closing argument for her that day. So, you know, I wanted to show up and what was nice. And the biggest thing is I wanted to, for her to know that I'm here and whoever here and people are here supporting her, right? Now, from the time from I saw her face, you know, when I saw it, when I Googled her and saw the picture, to what I'm seeing now, she had an uplift on her face to see the people there. And we all clapping, bringing her hand. She had an uplift. It was uplifting. That was wonderful to see, to be able to see that. Then to see that what, you know, just by the participation, just by us being there, to how it uplifts the system, right? So seeing that, right, and it being right, it made me want to do more. Because, again, to me, it was satisfying to be able to now, she has a smile on her face now. It was definitely satisfying to me to be able to see that, you know? So the next thing I said, now I wonder what else can I, because, you know, I've been throwing events, you know, for family members and stuff, at my property. We go around, we celebrate, everybody have a good time. So I think that was one thing to be able to celebrate the sister, celebrate her, to let her know that we're here for her. You know, to me, if we get 500,000, that will be awesome for her to be able to see the support behind her, to kind of uplift us. It's the biggest thing to me to have the sister uplifted, to know that we're there. We're there to support her. We're there to show her that we appreciate everything that she's going through for us, right? So that was my biggest thing.
So Wayne.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you came to David Ash, and I appreciate that, but a lot of people don't know what you're planning on trying to put together, right? So I think that it's important to people hear what you're trying to put together, you know what I'm saying, in terms of trying to get support to make it happen.
I'm sorry. Thanks for that, Bill. But what I'm going to do now, what I want to do at 6910 Haviland Mill Road, it's a 3-acre property. What we want to do is get everybody as we can to support this. She goes back to court May 23rd, right? May 18th, which will be the Saturday before that Saturday, to have her, you know, a send-off, to know that, you know, she's riding on clouds with all of us being there. right? So what I want to have this property, have everybody celebrating the sister, you know, helping her, donating her, you know, it's her. You know, we want to really show her our appreciation. That's my biggest thing, her appreciation, and help her, carry her in there, just kind of lift her up, lift her spirits, bring her up, you know, and also carry that to the court, the 23rd. You know, so we want to kind of start it here, start the celebration and support for Maryland. So what I'm looking for anybody, you know, speakers such as yourself, it'd be wonderful for this presentation, the way I hear all these speakers here. You know, again, it's informative to everybody to know, because one of the things when I talk to Maryland, her thing is just, let's get it out there. Let everybody know. The biggest thing is we want everybody to know what's going on, right? So for you guys and everybody to put this information, I want to present the platform, right, to have that platform there so everybody can hear the information, the people that I know, the people that you guys know, not to mention to celebrate. You know, because like I said, I want everybody to kind of be there to celebrate the sister that, you know, we're going to have entertainment. What's my plan, having entertainment, you know, having food. So it doesn't take much. It don't take much to just show up, to show up and support the sister. And again, this will be May 18th. And this is at 6910 Haviland Mill Road. And my contact number was 443-250-6777 for anybody who wants to participate. We'd love to have you.
Yes, and the brother said, like he just mentioned, he's going to have people entertain, and he desperately need quite a few of y'all to come there to be guest speakers at the event. And he will be promoting that through the National Black Unity News as well and the other formats, and he will be our guest on a future show coming up real soon to talk more in detail about it. And so, brother, I appreciate you for stepping up, stepping in, and keep doing what you're doing. And to move right along, like I say, we have several people on here. And if you want to say something, because we're getting down to the close of this thing, you just raise your hand or just step up. You know, Dr. Pender, can you unmute yourself, sir? Dr. Charles Pender. Okay, he may be away. But look, Dr. Pender, as you know, the National Black Unity News is growing. And we opening up different states. Now, we do have a national publication, but we will have, in a few weeks, a Virginia Black Unity newspaper. We also will have a South Carolina Black Unity News newspaper. And then we have Mr. Neil Spencer on here with us right now from Texas. And real soon, we'll be having a Texas Black Unity News as well. So the lines of communication will be opening, but we need everyone's support. You see, what happening to Maryland and what happened to George Floyd is what happened to so many of us. And like you also, you know, wisely put it, that it takes strategy, it takes connectivity, it takes commitment, and we had to stand not up for our own self, but we had to stand together in unity. It strengthened that unity. On here, that's why I stay so encouraged, and that's why I continue to do what I do. See right on here, right at this moment, as you all can see right for yourself, and this is a small group of us, I'm surrounded by soldiers, powerful people who has taken a stand and will continue to take a stand. And so from my point of view, we have no excuse, because we have everything we need. We really do. But you know, one thing we don't have that much is each other. And this is one of the importance of this podcast, is so that we can start connecting some of these dots. Because what's going on, we have people running for mayor in D.C., Baltimore, and other places all over this country. We got people, heads of organizations. We got media. We have committed people doing all sorts of work. And like I said, this is only a small group of us. But things are happening, and they will continue to happen as long as we communicate with one, share information with one another. Dr. Pender just showed up, and I just want you to, you know, Dr. Pender been around the block once or twice himself. And he's been out there for a long time on the front line, from back in the 60s, 50s, and things like that, fighting on the front lines. And he is the publisher of the Virginia Black Unity News. He's also an editor in the National Black Unity News newspaper, and been there for some time now. And I just want to, you know, introduce you, sir, because this gentleman here is about to do some great and wonderful things in the state of Virginia. And he and I and several other people, we'll be going all across this country looking for other publishers to start a publication in your state.
And
see,
can I make
no
a comment?
Reason, it's no reason for us to fight these battles alone. It's no reason Uncle Selvin had to go through what he's going through. Liz got to be going through what she's going through. Yes, they fighting. They taking a gallant stand. Marilyn Mosby is taking a gallant stand. But we need more. Dr. Penn, you want to say something? I did call.
Yes, yes. As civil rights, I was in civil rights back in the 60s with Curtis Harris and under the foundation of the SCLC. And I'm still in the battle as a retired psychotherapist. It's something that we forgot on this broadcast. We are reacting to a stimuli, a negative stimuli. Why don't we be proactive and flip the script on it? A lot of these people, these hate groups that's doing all this stuff and saying all these things, you have to use psychological defenses on them. In other words, half of the people don't even know what they don't even know their heritage. So if someone called you the N-word, you just ask him, well, how come you got white? You were once like us before, or so on and so forth. To take him down the route, I either say this, just go back to Frederick Blumenbach. If you read that, then you come back next week and call me with N-word. They don't know the history. Half of them don't know the history. And so therefore, this is psychological defenses that you have at your response. Look, you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to go and call him any names. Just tell him to check his history and take him back to his history when he was in the Garden of Eden in the sacks of Adam. Everybody came from Adam and Eve, and how they got white, it'll blow your mind. Just go back to Frederick Blumenbach. That will give you an opportunity to stop a whole lot of this mess. I've stopped a lot of them in their tracks. In fact, I've had a couple of them start going to church after they learn their history. Thank you very much, Dave.
I appreciate that. And I see that, is it Kim or Cynthia, you got your hand raised? Can you unmute yourself, please?
Yes, good evening, everybody. This is Cynthia. Kim is right here beside me. I want to thank everybody. First of all, I want to especially thank Smitty, Bill, and Sheena for the work that they're doing, and, of course, Wayne, the work that he's getting ready to do. Wayne, if you could put that information in chat so we have your phone number again, if you don't, or you could, you know, tell us again. But the main thing, I'm on board with you, Bill and Smitty. I'm sending out the same, but now I got more information because Sheena gave us a website. So I suggest that all of us at least get that website out. I call my friends personally. I'm calling them personally. Calling them, and then I'm following up with my text messages. People that I don't know, I'm sending them text messages, and I'm following that up with a phone call just to tell them that we have this emergency call. And this is really nationwide because we don't have to just depend on people in Baltimore City. We can also get people to raise money from across the country on this here. But y'all have my number, Bill and Smitty, and just give me a call so I can see if I can make more phone calls or whatever I can actively do, because I am willing to do that. That is my commitment. I will be there. I had the honor, like Wayne did, of meeting her when she was happy, and I had the sorrow of meeting her when she was sad, and I want to be back there meeting to see her happy again. So we're on board. Kim and I are both on board, and whoever else in my family. But like I said, it's that one-on-one phone calls that we have to make. Go through our phone list and tell your friends. And then, like Ms. Sheena said, have them go to that website because, like Sheena said, it explains the situation. If they don't understand it, they got something they can take the time, a few minutes to read and understand. That's all I want to say. I don't want to take up no more of your time, but I thank Kim. Can Kim give us a short little prayer? It's a short prayer for Mosby.
Oh, Heavenly Father, come to your throne, give all praise and glory be unto you, God. We ask everybody on this call and everybody been on the call to stand forth at your throne and cry out to you, dear Jesus, in the name for Mosby. Our former attorney, Ms. Mosby, because she needs your help. We ask, we seek, and we know that you will never leave and never forsake her, dear God. But we cry out for her, ask you to intervene on her behalf, touch the judges, touch whoever the power to be on this urban man form who make the decision that you would pour down all those strongholds that's trying to fight her and fight any of us who stand up for holiness, stand up for justice. So this young lady stood up for holiness and stood up for justice, stood up for righteousness, dear God. So we ask that you would touch her daughter, touch her entire family, everybody out there for her. We ask you to touch their heart. We ask that the people who know her personally, who step away from her, you would touch their heart to bring them back into the fold to do the right thing on her behalf. We ask everybody on this call and everything they fighting for, and allows it with even fighting for her, that you would just intervene, dear Jesus. We ask these things and all things in your holy name. You know what you need in need of. You know everybody on this call in the other day's personal campaign for her and other things they fighting for the black race. In your name, we declare victory. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And before we close out, family, that's what you are to me. Please exchange information with one another. Put it in the chat, because you're vital to each other. And like I say, collectively, we are one powerful force, but we need to start working together. Now, is there anyone else? I see several people, you know, for time, say just a few minutes. I see Dr. Mel Butler's on here. I see Brother Haki, Brother Cliff, is anybody. Unmute yourselves if you want to share a few words, you know, of how we black melanated people can come up with some solutions so that we can stand up together and fight this a good fight, as I call it, and stand up not only for ourselves, but for our families, for our community, and for our future generations. Anyone, before we close out,
I just want to say this before we close, David. I mean, again, thank you. I just want to thank everybody, man, that's, you know, here and everybody. And thank you so much, Cynthia, you and your sister, Kim, and everybody that's came aboard in terms of supporting Ms. Mosey, right? You know, I know we talk about supporting each other on lots of different levels, but I'm just saying, I hope that people will look in terms of what this sister has done so that they can see that she hadn't done nothing, right? So, you know, I mean, this is just an attack, like a public lynching that's taking place, right? So, you know, I just feel that in my heart anyway, we as black people do have a responsibility, you know, to stand with a sister that put risk everything to stand up for us. So again, I just want to say thank you, everybody, and I hope that everybody join us and do everything in your power, you know, to make sure that this sister have a victory.
Okay. Dr. Butler, yes. You can say something.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud.
Hello?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
First of all, thank you a lot. I appreciate being on the call. I came in a little late, and I'll just say a couple things, and maybe another time I can get more time. I don't want to take everybody's time. But we've already put together some things that will raise some money for Ms. Mosley. She came and supported us when I had the Harlem Globetrotters to help the kids out in school. And everybody on the call, you were right. But I think a couple of people said it so rightly. We get on these calls and everybody sometimes wants to be a leader. When we start doing what you did tonight, and that's have events that we can support. If we pull together and support people, people have Hulu and all these other things. They pay $5 a month. Why can't they pay $5 a month in every city that you start a branch of the newspaper? I have two events that are coming up, and I pledge myself for Ms. Mosley, with or without anybody else, I am going to do something to make sure that that lady knows whatever happens to her, not just now, but we're going to do it. We have coming up for Juneteenth week. Nobody's doing it in the country. We're going to do a invitational golf tournament involving HBCUs. We already have the flyer. We've already put money down on the place. We have the place, and we're going to on Juneteenth. And we're probably going to do one event recognition of, it's called a Community Unity People's Award. First time it's ever been done. And we'll have people, no politicians, that we're going to honor in the cities. And what we'd like to do is we have a team of consultants. And we'll go to any city that a person wants to do something before Juneteenth, and to culminate on Juneteenth. Because we have lanes that are open, folks. We have products that are open. We have a product that's worth about $1 trillion. And we have a candidate, a young man that's an engineer, came up with a way to help kids in mathematics. He's been out there and is taking Canada to help him get along, because we can't get enough people here to support his product. He's a young man, has a product. It's been proven. I've seen it. A couple of principals have put it in their school. So we don't need to keep listening to the problem. We need to have the solutions. And I just want to say tonight, you can give my number out, Mr. Murphy. I have a different number that they've hacked my phone. They broke in my house. They stole my identity, and I found that it's a gang of people that they've been using my company for the last 5 years under my name. And we just found out because I had a little operation on my eye so I could see some things. But in spite of all that, it's got nothing to do, and I was in the marches in the 60s. We were the ones that went to jail and opened up Northwood. We're in the Civil Rights Hall of Fame at Morgan State University. But that's the past. Right now, we have to get together. I don't care if it's $5. We need to pick some causes that we all support, name them on the phone that we all support, and we know that all of them can't be done at one time. So those people who don't have a project need to just get on board with somebody else's project, and we keep these lanes open that they can't stop us from getting in, and that we can show Ms. Mosby just the same thing that they did in D.C. for Mayor Gurry. We can do the same thing in Baltimore and all over this country.
All right,
I rest my case until next week.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. And Uncle Selwyn and Liz, you know, you are our special guest tonight, and I want you to reinstate some of the things that you're doing and how people can get involved with your projects.
You know, we have a podcast called Setting It Straight with Selwyn every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple, you name it, wherever podcasts are at, we're at. Hope929.org is where, you know, you can find us and look at some of the beautiful things that we're doing. And it always takes monies to run these things and to help make a difference. So, hey, if you're ever feeling free or you're ever feeling kind, you're going to always look out for us, you know, so we can keep this thing moving forward and making this big change that we're doing.
Captain Liz, you still on? Okay, she might have left, yes. But, okay. Okay. But, look, family, anybody else before we shut it down?
Brother Hockey here. I'll be real quick. Yeah, man, I just appreciate everyone giving love to Sister Marilyn. I just want to just mention she did have some support at the first trial, so just want to give everybody, but this was a new uncharted territory. Like, I didn't even know you can go into a federal court building. So, you know, it was just, you know, our lack of awareness on many different organizational levels. And so, you know, a lot of us dropped the ball. Absolutely. Absolutely. We didn't ask any questions, but, you know, but I'm just happy that we all came together, you know, and continue to come together after that. But I posted as well a flyer for a film screening coming up. Dr. Ryoko Rashidi, he's a world traveler, ancestor now, and he traveled to over 120 countries throughout the world. He's prominently known as the expert on Africans in Asia. So he wrote several books on that topic, but, you know, traveled all throughout Africa and the Middle East and many places, finding the global African presence. And I put the film trailer in there as well. So consider. April the 20th at the Black Movie Theater in Pikesville in Baltimore. So 4 p.m. So consider coming or get a ticket and send a young person or an elder. All right. Thank y'all. Bye.
Thank you, Brother Hockey. Let me say this in closing. You know, we can talk the talk, but we know, like you said, we have to walk and talk. And I want to thank everybody for your participation this evening. Not only that, but for your support of the National Black Unity News as well. You see, not only this young man, Wayne Bennett, is coming into the publication. Smitty and the Coalition, Bill and all of them, they will have information in the publication, that's upcoming publication about Marilyn Mosby. Liz and Uncle Selwyn, they would also have information in the National Black Unity News as well. And see, that's what's unity about, everybody support one another. And see, this is how, that's it. This is what this publication is all about, bringing us together, supporting one another. But I also have to remind you that the National Black Unity News is a different type of publication. You know, we don't dig in people's pockets. You know, we put our races so low, it's unreal when you put us in the industry with other publications. We do this because we are not money-driven, because we are mission-driven, and we want everybody to participate. And we know that we know the power of the press. We know the prices that other people pay to be in the press. But I said before, we are mission-driven. But even freedom comes with a price. And we do need your support. And to tell you, I tell you all the time, we own less than 1% of the media. It's a very small voice. And if you don't know, you will know. When you get involved with the National Black Unity News, we just don't put you in the publication. When you deal with David Murphy himself, I go way beyond the call of duty to support you, because your mission is my mission. That's why I consider myself a servant of servant. I serve people who actually serve people. If you out there serving people, then God sent me to you to serve you, to keep your mission going. And that's what I do. And I guess what? And I enjoy doing it too, because that's what my gifts are. I'm in media, broadcasting, podcasting, commercials and stuff like that. And those who know I would pour it out on them. I would do it because it's about your mission. But then again, you know, they say you have not because you ask not, or you ask amiss sometimes. But I'm telling you now, because I'm getting bold in my old age, I need some help. I need your support in order for me to keep doing what needs to be done with this 1% of the media. We need every man, woman, and child on board. But can you imagine what, if I can do this much with nothing, can you imagine what I can do with something? Can you imagine the power that you would have if I had something? Can you imagine, like I said, we opening up in all these different states. Can you imagine? I'm going to say this opening and honest. I don't have that type of fear no more. You know, you can come do what you can to me. You know, because I know who's on my side, so I don't have that type of fear. But I do know what I'm up against. Do you know the power of us? Little simple things like having a publisher in every state. Do you know what I mean? That's 50 publishers. Do you know if something happened to David Murphy, Dr. Penn, the 5 or 10 of us, we're still going strong. Most of our organizations, if you take the heads down, that's it. Most of you know if they take you down, that's it. That's why we all need somebody in our system, in our organization, some young folks and stuff that, you know, to pick up the baton, you know, keep it going. God didn't bring you this far just so that, you know, everything stops with you. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we have a powerful thing going here, but it does take the village. And as long as I'm around, you know, I'm here to serve you. But then again, I always say that my mother helped me to help you so that we can help ourselves. Again, family, I thank you for your time. I thank you for your support. And I thank you for your commitment to what you have already done. Because everybody on here has a track record. We have put in some work, as the young people say, over the years. And again, this is just a small group of us. Each one of you have your own organizations as well. And then when you start compounding the strength that we have, it's a powerful thing that we have. But the only thing we need to do, Bill said it, Smitty said it, all of you said it, we need to come together, start working together. And it's difficult. I know it's difficult in the past because there's so many things that try to keep us apart. Here we got 90% of the things that we are fighting for together, but we allow 10%, less than 10% to separate us. We have to put those differences aside for the good of our people. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to really shut up, because this is significant, I think. Years ago, I used to work in Baltimore as a dishwasher, way out there on Park. I said it was way out there then because it was the Jewish community at the time. And I was a dishwasher for this kosher caterers. And every time this owner of this Jewish, old Jewish fellow, he would always be cussing out somebody. I mean, he'd be going at it. I mean, he had some real choice words. I learned a lot from him in his words. But in any case, he was giving it up. I mean, he's just fussing all the time. I just thought he was an old cranky man. Because every time he turned around, but then I stopped and looked at him. He called me just staring at him. Because he was getting upset. I mean, he was all up on the street, man, and he smoked a cigar. He spit it out of his mouth, and I mean, he was great to go off and stuff. And then he looked at him. He calmed down a little. And I asked, I said, Mr. Berlin, I said, what's wrong? And he said, I can't stand this, you know, this, that, and this, that, you know. Then I asked him one simple question. I said, then why do you keep doing business with him? And he gave me a powerful lesson. He said, son, let me say this to you. He said, there's a lot of people I do business, and I can't stand their guts. He said, but I do business with them for the survival of my people. He said, it ain't nothing personal when it, you know, when about how I feel about each other. He said, yeah, that's personal. But he said, when it comes to business, that's family. He said, for us to survive, he would cross all kinds of stuff to support another Jewish business. And he said something very unique to me. He said, your people need to take a lesson from that. And that stuck with me all of this time. Sometimes we let these small things separate us. Oh, because he's an Israelite, he's this, or he's a Catholic, or he's a Jew, or he's this, or he's that, and I can't work. But in the meantime, our people are suffering, and we already know the power of us. You can see that with this small group of us right now. Brother Cliff is on there. He had met with black organizations pretty much his entire adult life. But those are the same things, the little 5% of things that keep us separated. Because somebody believe in Kim and somebody believe in this part of Africa. So, you know, them little teeny things. But yet, we're in the condition that we're in because we allowed that to happen to us. Now, family, we got people on here. We got Marilyn Mosby. We got George Floyd, his uncle. And Lynn Darden and Bill Clinton, Smitty and Shane, and so many of y'all fighting on the front line, not for yourself, but for someone else. And that is so commendable. You know, and when I have talked to each and every one of you that's on here right now, you know, I feel your spirit. I feel the love that your commitment that you have, powerful stuff that you have. You know, and like I said, it gives me energy. And I would hate to see that all that blood, sweat, and tears that you put into your efforts to make changes. This young lady, Dr. Hampton, worked tirelessly. I mean, she'd be rolling. She'd be doing this and doing that. She don't have to do it for no, you know, but she does it because she loves her and our people. She wanted to help people. And just about everybody on here is about helping other people. And so from this day forward, because this is going to continue, we already said this is going to continue to happen unless we do something. We can't look for no outside person, nobody else. We, us, the ones right here. Exchange these numbers. If you don't know, everybody on here pretty much will be in the next issue of the National Black Unity News, where you can get that information from. And to support one another, make a concerted, like that Jewish fellow. You ain't got to like each other. But for the good of our people and future generations, we need to do it. It's bigger than us. And I also told you this, that the National Black Unity, you know, Bill Gooden and I, we started this publication, but it came from divine inspiration. God has ordained this publication. He has ordained for you to be a part of it. No way in the world David Murphy could have assembled such a great group of people by himself. Only God can bring this together. So it's bigger than you and me. It's about us. God heard our cries. And he knows what we have gone through. And he looked for people like us, somebody who's willing to take a stand. But we can't stand alone. And we already know when two or three of us are gathered, you know, God is in the midst of it. But he's in the midst when you stand by yourself for righteousness' sake. And I want to thank you all again. We'll be back on tomorrow night at 7:30 when we talk about the National Black Unity News, because you all are part of our family, ma'am. And there's other family members in the National Black Unity News that you need to meet. Because it's not how much I know, it's how much they know as well, and who they know, too. And this is how we continue to take that snowball effect, keep rolling down this mountain, how we can all grow. And I thank you all again, and I appreciate you. I hope to see you back here next week. And we'll be on tomorrow night, and I'm going to say good night to each and every one of you. Be safe and keep doing what you're doing. And, man, I'm just so pleased with the work that you all have done. Just keep on doing it. Much love and respect. Take care. God bless. All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody. Peace. God bless you.
Good night.
Thank you, Smitty. Take care.
Thank you. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.
Take care.
Goodbye.